You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by HomeWatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and their loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
News Talk 1360 WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with your host, Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. And now, Caring Connections.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Caring Connections on 1360 WCHL. Today, we will be discussing the myths and reality of long-term care insurance when faced with an aging population. Joining us today is Karen Bird. Karen specializes in long-term care planning and insurance. She is certified in long-term care. For more than 13 years, Karen has worked with other professionals and seniors and their families in adult daycare centers, assisted living communities, and in a private duty home care arena. With her extensive caregiving background, Karen has played an active role in developing and promoting Comfort Assurance Group. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Nicole.
So Karen was so kind to provide for us today some of the top 10 things about long-term care insurance that we don't know but probably should. And I'd like to highlight a couple of them, and the rest will be available on the chapelbarrow.com website after today's show. One of the things that she talks about is that the subject of long-term care planning insurance is not just one solution to the problem. The next thing that she mentioned that I thought was particularly interesting is that self-insuring for long-term care is not an option. It's the default. And you often hear people talking about that in the private arena. Oh, I don't need long-term care insurance because I'm self-insuring. And I don't think people sometimes think about what the real costs are related to that. So talk to us a little bit about what exactly is long-term care. You hear that word often.
Right. Long-term care is not a place, but a response to an event or condition. It describes the type of care a person would need if there is a catastrophic disability or a chronic illness. It's a variety of services, from anything from in-home care mm-hmm. to assisted living, adult daycare, and skilled nursing. And much of it is non-medical or custodial care that's provided in the home.
So what's long-term care insurance then? Does it pay for all those things?
Long-term care insurance is a source to pay for those types of services that we just mentioned, yes.
Okay, so aside from paying with your personal assets or maybe Medicare or Medicaid or private insurance, this is an additional option to help pay for those care needs?
Correct.
Okay, so I've been in the long-term care industry, so I guess I have a new kind of way of thinking about that for a long time now, and even provided caregiving for a family member. How you often hear about these older policies, these long-term care insurance policies, and people used to call them nursing home insurance, I think was a common phrase.
Right.
So some of these policies are becoming mature now. So you're saying that some of these policies could pay for some of those custodial-type care.
It is. Originally, the policies, as you said, were nursing home policies. Mm-hmm. That's how they were designed, because assisted living and home care companies were not around.
Okay.
These insurance policies started in the 1970s, and really nursing home or rest home care was the only thing available. So as the policies have evolved mm-hmm. and the companies and the industries have evolved,
sure.
the policies are now becoming comprehensive and covering all kinds of care.
And in doing research for today's show, it seems like there's a lot of things that can happen to you that could create the need for long-term care. And some of the things that I found very interesting are actually the top 10 things that people need or could happen to them that would cause long-term care are things like fractured bones, such as hips, recovering from illnesses or surgery. So maybe you had pneumonia and you were in a hospital for a while, and then you need some long-term care to help you recuperate.
Right.
Rehabilitation from a hospital stay, Alzheimer's disease and dementia, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, heart disease, strokes, head injury, and even obesity. Correct. These are all the top 10 things that actually are precursors to needing long-term care. And I think if we look at this list, probably most everyone listening has someone in their family that probably has one of these things, if not more.
That's right.
So talk to me a little bit about how this is all paid for and what you should look for when you're looking for a long-term care policy.
Okay. I think one of the things that people quite don't understand is they think, oh, I have Medicare, and Medicare is going to pay for this.
Everything. And Medicare does pay for everything, doesn't it?
No, it does not. Medicare will pay for a portion, and it's really rehabilitative services,
okay.
Skilled services, rehabilitative in nature. So when a person needs assistance just with day-to-day activities,
okay.
We call activities of daily living.
Okay. Which are things like?
Bathing,
okay.
Dressing, transporting, incontinence. Things that people don't like to talk about.
Yeah.
Those are the things that really the majority of people need assistance with. So Medicare really does not cover all of the...
So the truly long and the long-term care needs. It covers the shorts of the needs in some
That is
cases.
Correct. Right. So. There's also Medicaid. Okay. But Medicaid was really designed for someone who's indigent or has spent down the rest of their resources to have care. And again, that, for the most part, takes place in a nursing home facility with some home care as well.
So a couple of long-term care statistics that I found in doing research for today's show, 75% of people over the age of 65 will eventually need long-term care. 75% of people. So that's three out of four of us.
Exactly.
That's a huge number.
Now, that does include, as you mentioned earlier, those who may be recuperating from a hip surgery or a pneumonia, but that again,
at some point we will be long-term care.
Right, exactly.
And that about 80 million Americans will turn 50 in the next 18 years. So that's one person. So 80 million Americans will turn 50 over the next 18 years. That's one person in every 8 seconds.
Yes.
So you're going to be busy.
A huge amount of people. We
wow.
all are. We all are.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, why should I consider purchasing long-term care insurance?
Well, there's not a lot of other things out there to pay for it, and if we don't take care of it ourselves, we're not going to have any choices. Buying long-term care insurance does just that. It gives people puts them in the driver's seat. They get to decide what kind of care they want, who's going to care for them, and how that care will be taken or be delivered.
So let's hold that thought, Karen, and we are going to take a short break. I am here today with Karen Bird, long-term care insurance agent from Comfort Assurance Group, talking about long-term care insurance models that could help us pay for care needs in the future, and we'll be right back.
Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Karen Bird from Comfort Assurance Group talking about long-term care insurance on 1360 WCHL, and I am your host, Nicole Bruno. Welcome back, Karen.
Great.
Okay, so let's get down to what everybody wants to know. What is this going to cost me?
The cost is really... has two factors.
Okay.
One is the age of the applicant who's going to purchase this, and two is health.
Okay.
So a person who has health conditions or has maybe some things pending, and maybe they need to have a surgery or a knee replacement kind of thing, that's going to factor in on the price of long-term care insurance.
So similar to life insurance.
Very similar to life insurance.
Okay.
Right. And is it expensive? Well, it can be.
Okay.
But it doesn't have to be either. I think some of the things that people need to be aware of are riders or add-ons in a policy. And if they want to kind of keep it at a low cost, then the riders are not necessarily something for them and needed. So it's important to look at different policies and what is kind of included or what is an extra. And it's also important to see what the underwriting guidelines are.
Is there a magical age?
There's not a magical age. We know we are never promised tomorrow. We have no idea what's going to happen from day to day.
Right.
Typically, people do wait until they're in their 50s.
Okay.
And I think a lot of that has to do with people younger than that may still have children at home or putting kids through college. Mm-hmm. And so having the added expense of long-term care insurance can just they're not ready for that.
It's not going to be a college payment now, is it?
It is not a college payment.
Okay. So say I have this lovely policy, or say my mom does, and she starts sort of slipping down the slippery slope of health. What are some of the things that can trigger this and make it come into effect? And should I necessarily do it at that point, or should I wait until she goes a little bit further along? You often hear about people having these policies, but they're afraid to activate them. And why is that? And what triggers it to begin with?
Okay, triggers. So that's really, like you said, what is allowing you to receive your money, your benefits for your insurance. And it's important to understand that a person has to be chronically ill before they can use their policy. And what that means is defined more as unable to perform without substantial supervision and assistance from another person, needing to need help for two activities of daily living.
So those bathing, dressing, grooming, things
exactly.
that you mentioned before.
And that is going to last for a period of 90 days or longer. And as I mentioned a little bit too, the other trigger is a cognitive impairment that, again, the person has to be supervised and is unable to be left alone for any period of time.
Okay, so why? So is this subjective? Could I just say, okay, mom's slipping down the slippery slope, and okay, let's hire a home care agency to come in, or let's send her to an adult daycare center 5 days a week? Or it may be my opinion that she's slipping. Is that good enough to trigger the policy?
No, I'm sorry, it's not.
Come on, I thought I had a pretty good opinion about my mom.
Sure you do. But basically, it's a doctor, a nurse, or a licensed social worker who will make that decision. It can be your own private doctor, but always know the insurance company has the right to question that, and they can bring in their own care coordinator, they're often called, to assess the person.
So is that typically what happens if I want mom to get in-home care for 4 hours a day? Can that home care company say? That seems almost like a conflict to me. Can they say, yes, she does need home care, or does an outside person have to?
It is an outside person, yes.
Yeah. Always watch out for those conflicts of interest.
Exactly.
Okay. So I think I understand what could trigger it. Talk to me a little bit about this. It's a common knowledge, I think, that most women live longer than men, but at the rate we're all working, we might just catch up soon enough. Is it more important for women to have this insurance, would you say, if I were going to choose, if my husband and I were looking at this and saying, well, you know, should I do it or should you do it? You know, how do we make that decision?
Okay. I think it's important to know that, yes, if couples, it really should be both of you.
Okay.
And there are so many options within a policy now. Often couples will do what they call shared care.
Okay.
So they'll buy, we'll put it, 3 years each of care.
Okay.
But then combine together for 6 years. And basically that 6 years can be used for the first person that needs the care. If they use up their 3 years, then they can use their spouse's.
Oh.
We need to think about it. You're not looking at necessarily insuring everything. And both people necessarily. You're looking at insuring the first person that goes on claim.
Okay.
Because if you're paying for care, you're having to pull money from somewhere, whether it be your savings, your retirement, from, you know, CDs or bonds. It's taking away from your day-to-day income to care for that person.
So does this completely pay for the care of somebody, or does it just depend on your policy?
It depends on your policy.
So you might have a copay or a...
Exactly. Or you're looking at it as co-insurance.
Okay.
So you're going to pay for a limited time or pay, out of that policy first, and then you may be using your own funds.
And one of the terms I've heard before when hearing people talk about long-term care insurance is the elimination period.
Right.
What is that?
The elimination period is a waiting period, almost like a deductible.
Okay.
And you don't have to have that at all.
Okay.
It will increase your premium that you're paying for, but often the new policies will not have an elimination period for home care.
Okay.
And that's more the elimination period, again, is for someone who is maybe moving to a community or facility. 90 days is an average amount for someone to have. One, helps keep the premium cost down.
Right.
And two, again, look at the definition of long-term care, and we're looking at an event that's going to happen 90 days or longer.
Okay. Okay. So they just want to make sure it actually happens. So
exactly.
90 days is where it's covered. Okay. So one of the criticisms you hear about long-term care and just really about any kind of insurance is that the premiums seem to keep going up and up and up, and people are afraid of buying the coverage, and then it'll be unaffordable when they're older. Kind of debunk that myth for
right,
me.
Right, I know. Long-term care insurance is relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
As I think I mentioned, it started in the 1970s, and there have been increases in the older policies as well as what we call new business.
Okay.
Companies found that people that buy this insurance, they actually keep it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't drop it. They don't let it lapse. And that has been a struggle for the insurance companies. They didn't, when they first started, they really didn't expect this.
Okay.
So, over time, the insurance companies have been able to better price their product.
Okay.
They're seeing the cost of care that has just drastically, year after year,
increased. Every 8 seconds.
Exactly. And so, between being better at regulating what and being subjective, what they think the cost of care will be and pricing their policies, as well as there are new state regulations to make it harder for them to increase pricing.
Okay, well, hold that thought, and we're going to take a quick break. I'm here today with Karen Bird from Comfort Assurance Group talking about long-term care insurance as a model to pay for your health needs in the future on 1360 WCHL, and we'll be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Karen Bird from Comfort Assurance Group talking about long-term care insurance on 1360 WCHL. Okay, so I have a burning question for you. What's the best policy to buy? And I know that's a loaded question.
It is a loaded question, Nicole. Policies are not one size fits all.
Why not?
It's important. Everyone's different.
Too many
Their
choices.
Needs are
Come
different.
On.
So it's important to look at the options the different policies offer. Again, not looking at just one carrier, looking at several different carriers. You need to look at the financial stability of the company, the underwriting guidelines. If somebody has a tendency to have high blood pressure, one company may be a little bit better in underwriting them than another company. And after deciding with all those factors, you're going to decide what the best policy is for your needs.
Okay. Well, here's another thing, and you might want to hit me over the head with a wet noodle for asking you this question, but some insurance companies have been criticized for not paying benefits for the kind of care that the people want, like home care or adult daycare or even geriatric care management. How do you deal with that?
That's tough, and you really hate to have to talk to somebody about that. But again, remember that the first policies that were issued were nursing home care.
But don't these policies, if they looked at it, wouldn't they see that adult daycare would be cheaper than sending someone to a nursing home?
They would, and often the companies are willing to have an alternate plan of care provision written in there. If it's not written in there, if you are offering that to them, they will take that. Bottom line, insurance is a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And if their wording wasn't written into the contract, then they don't have to legally honor that.
So I think part of this would be really set yourself up to work with someone that you can trust, that would be an advocate for you, like yourself. You know, if I were looking to purchase long-term care insurance, find someone that sort of knows these ins and outs. And if my policy says nursing home, you would know enough to say, well, it does say nursing home, but...
Correct.
Instead of just calling a 1-800 number, or I think it's best to deal local for some of these things like this.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Definitely.
Okay. So the last thing that I wanted to say before we talk about your resources is that if you had one thing to say to folks about what they should know to understand long-term care insurance, what would that be?
I think before anyone can feel comfortable with purchasing long-term care insurance, they have to believe that there's a risk that they need care, that is a real thing. Our emotions may make it so we feel like we won't need long-term care.
Who wants to believe that you're going to need it?
Of course.
Yeah.
But the reality is that any adult,
mm-hmm.
no matter their age,
yeah.
If they plan to live a long life,
mm-hmm.
then the need for home care, assisted living, a nursing home, whether it be short-term
mm-hmm.
or extended, is very real and there.
Bottom line.
Bottom line.
So you were so gracious to provide us some resources if we want to do some more research on for ourselves. And could you just kind of highlight those for us? And we will have them available on chapelborough.com after today's show. But just for the listening audience, if they're hungry for this right this minute,
sure.
Where can they find out more?
Sure. There's our Comfort Assurance Group website,
okay.
And that's CAGNC.com. There's the American Association for Long-Term Care Insurance.
Okay.
The North Carolina Department of Insurance.
Okay.
And then there are a couple books that are really good. And one's called The Stages of Senior Care by Paul and Lori Hogan.
Okay.
Long-Term Care, Your Financial Planning Guide by Phyllis Shelton.
Okay.
And another book called In Sickness and in Health, Your Sickness, Your Family's Health by Harley Gordon.
So if you had to pick one of these to put on your Kindle, which one would it be?
Wow.
Tough choice.
That is a tough choice because they all cover long-term care insurance, but in some different ways. I would say Stages of Senior Care.
Okay. So that's on our number one reading list for the night. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today with Karen Bird from Comfort Insurance Group as we examined long-term care insurance as a means to pay for future care needs, which are definitely inevitable.
Yes.
On 1360 WCHL. As always, you may email your caregiving-related issues to caring@1360wchl.com. Thanks for joining us.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as for those people afflicted with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers and can be heard Saturdays at 10 a.m. Email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of News Talk 1360 WCHL. 1360 WCHL wants to connect with you online for updates on our lifestyle programs, awesome giveaways, contests, trivia, community photos, breaking news, and more. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/chapelborough and become our fan on Facebook, and always connect with us online at chapelborough.com.